Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم. ربنا زدنا علما. أما بعد, today the topic is the truth about remembering one's sins, sign that repentance is approved. This is a continuation of previous essays on Tawbah. We read here a quotation of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, Sheikh Akbar Rahimahullah said that the sign of Tawbah being accepted is that the picture of the sin is completely deleted from the mind, so that it is no longer remembered. But the common books on Sufism say that the seeker must always have his sins in his visualization. These sins are reconciled thus. The meaning of deletion is that the sin's effect by way of a natural anxiety is removed, though it is there in memory with a religious anxiety. Besides, the Sheikh statement is not a universal principle, but it applies to some natures for whom natural anxiety spells out obedience. Who is Sheikh Akbar? Sheikh Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi. He was from Spain. He was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi said, these are two words from different saints. Though they seem to differ, the Mawlana has reconciled them. The first word is from Sheikh Akbar, who is Sheikh Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi, that one can know that his tawbah is accepted by absence of all thought of the sin he had committed. He will not even remember it. So he seems to say that if the sin for which the sinner had made tawbah is recalled, then the repentance is not approved. What the Sufis say? However, the Sufis and religious elders tell us that one must always keep in mind his sins. This means that the particular sin will always be on his mind. In short, they want us to remember our sins, but Sheikh Akbar Rahmatullah Alayhi said that if sins are on the mind, then it suggests that repentance has not been approved. These are two differing views. Sheikh Akbar's word explained. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that Sheikh Akbar's saying does not mean that that sin will not remain in memory, but that the natural grief and sorrow for having done that will be softened after making a sincere repentance, if repentance has gained approval. And if the sin is remembered involuntarily, then there is no harm in that. Show gratitude and be comforted. There is no harm if the remembrance also causes the mind to reason out the evil of the sin and the contentment at having repented. Ascribing all praise to Allah for the ability to repent and the relief and deliverance from punishment. Our respected elder, Baba Najmi Ahsan, Rahmatullah Alayh, a poet of great standing, said poetry on this theme, whose message is, I do remember having committed such and such sin, recognizing in my heart that it is evil. But I also have the thought that Allah granted me the wealth through sighs, and I was able to make a repentance to Him so that this sin of mine can cause me no harm. When I am presented before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, He will not seize me for this sin, because Allah has given an assurance that He accepts repentance. This is the meaning of Sheikh Akbar's words. That I do, a person says, I do remember having committed such and such sin, recognizing in my heart that it is evil, it was a bad thing. But I also have the thought that Allah granted me the wealth, the tawfiq, through sighs, and I was able to make a repentance to Him so that the sin of mine can cause me no harm. When I am presented before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, He will not seize me for this sin, because Allah has given an assurance that He accepts repentance. This is the meaning of Sheikh Akbar's words. Why do people keep sins in mind? Three reasons for keeping sins in mind. The other Sufis and religious leaders hold that one must keep his sins in mind. There could be three reasons for doing that, and their applications differ. One, remembering sins to enjoy them. One, may Allah protect us. One reason for remembering sins could be to enjoy them. The sinner reviews it step by step and takes pleasure. This thing is absolutely disallowed. May Allah keep all of us away from it. One reason for remembering sins could be to enjoy them. The sinner reviews it, the sin, step by step he reviews it, and he gets and takes pleasure from it. This thing is absolutely disallowed. May Allah keep all of us away from it. Ameen. There is always the risk that one may commit it again to seek enjoyment. So keep away from this kind of remembrance. Two, being doubtful about the acceptance of tawbah. The second reason for man to remember his sins is that he is apprehensive whether his repentance is accepted or not. He enumerates his sins and he remembers them one by one, and he worries his head over it. Will he be forgiven or not? This kind of remembering sins is not sinful, but it is not approved. Rather, he should gather himself and make a repentance observing its three conditions, namely, to give up the sin, to regret having committed it, and to be ashamed over it, and thirdly, to resolve never to commit it again. Offer two rak'ats of Salatul Tawbah and pray to Allah, asking Him to forgive you. O Allah, I have erred. Forgive me. Do it very well. And thereafter, stop recounting your sin again and again. Stop recounting your sin again and again. Do not try to remember it. Forget it. Forget it. Doubt implies lack of iman. Then dismiss the apprehension that you may not have been forgiven. When Allah has promised that He will accept repentance and forgive sinners, then that does not behove you to not rely on His mercy. An excellent example. Supposing your son or student makes a mistake and then ask you to pardon him. So you say that you have pardoned him and he should forget having made a mistake, and you have pardoned him. But he comes to you again and asking to be forgiven, and you will tell him every time that you have pardoned him, yet he is not at peace. This attitude is not proper from him because it shows that he does not trust you. He has no faith in you. You must trust. Now, what is the worth of a teacher or a sheikh before Allah the Glorious? Allah's mercy overwhelms all theirs. So if anyone trusts these people when they assure him pardon, then why not trust Allah for that? Hence, if anyone makes a repentance, then he must rest assured that he is forgiven, because Allah has assured us that He will forgive the repentance. He should not recount his sin again and again and again. The result of this repetition, if anyone repeats in this way incessantly that he has committed a sin and wonders if Allah has forgiven him or not, then there rises gradually a veil, a screen between him and Allah. This is not a good thing. Remove the screen and have faith in Allah that He has forgiven you. Instead, think of the future and ensure that you do not commit any more sin. Remembering with realization of your worth. So we are speaking about three reasons why people remember sins. The third reason for remembering sins is to know one's own worth as a sinner. And this is desired. This is matlub. The third reason for remembering sins is to know one's own worth as a sinner. It is another thing that Allah forgives sins, that's one thing. But I am nothing and absolutely unreliable, and I may commit sin any moment unless Allah enables me to keep away from sin. Analashai, I am nothing. He forgave me, though I am unworthy of that. In this way, the man combats the urge to be arrogant and egoist. To be an egoist. There is no harm in this approach. No harm in this approach. When a person praises you, the same treatment is used to fight ego. Tell yourself that it is Allah's favor that He made that person see you as praiseworthy. It is all out of Allah's favor. If He had seen you as you are, then he would have detested you being drowned in sin. Allah has concealed your faults. Thus, when the Sufis advise that you not forget sins, they have disturbed approach in mind. This is what is meant by them when they say, don't forget your sins. This is the approach in mind. That you remember it, you know your worth, your own worth as a sinner. It is Allah's blessings and favor that He has forgiven me. In short, there are three reasons for remembering one's own sins. One, which is totally unaccepted and it is disapproved. One is to enjoy the thought of them, to enjoy the thought of the sins. So a person remembers his sins, and as he's remembering them, his sins, step by step, he enjoys the thought of the sins. And this is very sinful, very sinful. A person might repeat those sins again. Totally disallowed. Number two, to wonder if you are forgiven or not. So a person's remembering, I wonder if I'm forgiven or not. And this approach is also disallowed because it shows you don't trust Allah. The third one is desired. To know that a person remembers his sins in a total way, just to know one's own worth. And this approach is reasonable, just to know one's own worth. Who am I? Sin is not something to be recounted time and time again. That is so important. Sin is not something to be recounted time and time again. Each of these three approaches has to do with remembering sin, but each attracts a widely different ruling. When the sheikhs train their disciples, they apply the approach most suitable to every disciple. Some of them do not differentiate between the second and third approaches, as a result of which they instruct their disciples to sit down at the time of tahajjud and remember their sins one by one, one by one. Because they don't make a differentiation between second and third, but this is a mistake. Thus, Mufti Taqi Usmani says, someone met me and disclosed that his sheikh had instructed him to get up for tahajjud salat and after offering salah, count the sins he has committed one by one and make their numerical lists. Then he should make istighfar for the sins. Mufti Sahib is saying, I advise him that this was a wrong approach. I told him that one must simply visualize his sins as a whole and tell himself that though he is nothing, yet Allah has pulled him out of the quicksand. Allah has pulled him out of the quicksand of sin. So it is not proper for him to be proud. Repentance is enough. Tawbah is enough. Someone asked Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullahi, if I think of anyone in my heart as lowly, or I feel jealous of him, or perpetrate in my heart an offensive habit and feeling for someone, but not with my hands and mouth, it only happens inside of my heart, then is that also a violation of rights of fellow men? And will I have to seek pardon from him? The Mawlana Rahmatullahi responded, because no one is hurt in this way, it does not violate rights of men, hukukul ibad. It calls only for repentance and reforming in future, and fasi isa. A bad thought about another is not a violation of right of fellow men. This is not violating the rights of creatures, hukukul ibad. Sometimes a man gets evil thoughts about another person, like jealousy, etc., hatred, malice, anger. Only getting such thoughts is not a violation of rights of fellow men. As Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, as long as he did not take a practical step on his thought and he did not backbite, tell tale, or ridicule him, everything is in order. To regard a Muslim as base is a grave sin, but he did not give it a practical shape. Yes, the thought is not a good talk, but he did not give it a practical shape. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that he must only make repentance and tawbah for this. To summon evil thoughts for another, if a person feels ill will for another person, like jealousy, etc., then this is either involuntary and uninvited, or it is voluntary and invited. When the Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi said that a person who has this kind of thought must make a repentance, he referred to the voluntary and invited kind that he forces his mind to visualize. This is what he's referring to. The voluntary and invited kind that he forces his mind to visualize. Because if anyone summons the thought on purpose, then he commits a sin. But since the other person suffers no harm, this does not mean a violation of rights of fellow men, but at least he must do his tawbah with Allah, because he summoned those thoughts. But he didn't hurt the person, so no need for it doesn't mean violation of rights. This is why it is enough to make a repentance. O Allah, I have erred, forgive me. It is not necessary to ask the other person to forgive him because he didn't go so far. The uninvited thought. The other possibility is to have the evil thought about another person, and it comes in, it is having this thought uninvited. Since this is an involuntary thought, no sin is committed and no questions will be asked, inshallah. There is no need to make a repentance even for this, because it was involuntary. However, this is also a dangerous situation. Don't be too comfortable with it. Even though it's involuntary and you're not responsible for it, this is also a dangerous situation, for it might provoke the person to sin, either by making him bring thought voluntarily or by acting upon it. It should be treated in two ways. So when such thoughts come in, uninvited thoughts, even though a person is not responsible for it and would not be taken to task for it, but still one should be careful, and it should be treated in two ways. The uninvited thoughts, bad thoughts. One, regard the thought as bad. This is the first treatment. Regard the thought as bad. One kind of treatment is to regard this thought of jealousy, hatred, spite for another person, regard it as evil and try to dismiss it. This is the first cure, first remedy. Regard it as bad, it's not good, it's evil, and try to dismiss it from the mind, from the heart. And the second remedy and cure is to do the opposite now, make dua for that person. The second treatment is to pray for that person about whom you get evil thoughts. Say, O Allah, give him good in religion and give him good in this life. Now, Mufti Sahib says, your heart longs that this person may perish. And it comes out from your heart even involuntarily. Your heart longs that this person may perish and be dishonored. Yet you make oral dua for his progress. In this way, the heart is hurt, and it should be so. In this path, the heart is hurt and the heart is broken for the sake of Allah in this path. ask yourself a question. How it will benefit you if that person is degraded? And my heart is longing for that. But if he is degraded and dishonored or something happens to him, ask yourself how it will benefit you if that person is degraded. So pray for his ranks to be raised. When you employ these two kinds of treatment, regarding the thought as bad and praying, when you employ these two kinds of treatment, then the involuntary thoughts will not harm you in future. But if you don't treat it in this way, they may harm you in future and lead to a course of action. And you will be safe from sin, inshallah. If there is no opportunity to give rights, this is from another Maulana Thanwi saying, Rahmatullah Alayh. If anyone dies after making a repentance and does not get an opportunity to give rights of others, then his repentance will also absolve him of those rights, inshallah. Allah will please the oppressed and forgive the oppressor. But if he does not make a repentance, then Allah may punish the oppressor or send him to Jannah without punishing him and please the oppressed with blessings of paradise and Fasi'isa. Rights of men, always remember, rights of men are not pardoned. Hukukul ibad. I have stated this often, that rights of men are not pardoned only by making a repentance unless the owner of the rights is given his rights or he pardons you. Thus, you may ask Allah to forgive you for your sins and repent for them, but that will not absolve you of the rights of others. Either you give them their rights or ask them to forgive you willingly. It is not valid to compel them to forgive you. These rights could be monetary or even physical. Allah will prompt the right holder to pardon. However, Allah is very merciful, very compassionate. If anyone makes a sincere repentance and also makes an intention to give the rights of the owners, he does all of that, but dies before he can give them. Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said his repentance will be enough and he will be absolved of rights of men. Allah will tell the right holders that, listen, I give you these blessings. Now you forgive my slave. Forgive my slave, because he didn't have an opportunity to give back those rights. Summary. As for rights of fellow men, they are pardoned only when their owner pardons them to one who has made a repentance but not given the rights, though he had an opportunity to give them. As for one who had no opportunity before his death, Allah inspires the owner to forgive him. Again, the summary. As for rights of fellow men, they are pardoned only when their owner pardons them to one who has made tawbah but not given the rights, though he had an opportunity to give them. As for the one who had no opportunity before his death, Allah inspires the owner of the rights to forgive him. And this is taken from hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this story, a man of Banu Israel. Evidence for this is found in the Sahih hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a man of Banu Israel from the Israelites. This man from the Israelites from Banu Israel had killed 99 men. Suddenly he realized that he had committed a grave sin and could not save himself from hell. And he killed 99 people? Wow. He went to a monk, and told him, because that was the days of the Ahlul Kitab, Banu Israel, children of Israel. So he went to a high priest and told him what he had done and asked him how he could save himself from punishment and make a repentance. Because from the Banu Israel, there were the Nasara, the Christians, and the Yahud, the Jews. So he went to this high priest. But the priest held out no hope for him. No hope for him, because the right owners had died. 99 of them passed away. How is there hope for you? No redemption. And retaliation could also be taken once. What about the remaining 98? The man, on hearing this, the man killed the high priest. He killed him too and completed 100 murders. Make it flat, 100 murders. Then he went to another person with his story, and he went with hope. He suggested, this person would have been most likely an alim and a scholar. He suggested to him, make a repentance to Allah. Turn to Allah. Do tawbah. Do tawbah. Turn to Allah. Make repentance to Allah. Beg him. And then go to a certain village where pious people live there. Take up residence in that village with the pious people over there. You will improve, and Allah will forgive you. Accordingly, he journeyed towards the village with renewed resolve of a changed life. But he died during this journey. Both the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment came to seize his soul. They disputed over who should take him. The former argued that he had repented. The angels of mercy argued that he had repented. But the latter, angels of punishment, said he had killed 100 people. Allah, who is watching everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked them, the angels, to find out which village he was nearer to. They took the measure from the start of his journey to his destination, and he was nearer to his destination of the pious people. So the angels of mercy took him to Jannah. This hadith is found in Bukhari. It's also found in Muslim Sharif. So all these principles are based from Quran and hadith. All these remedies are from Quran and hadith. But our mashayikh, they have the ability to extract them and to understand them. The meaning, the ulama, the scholars explain that Allah would please the murdered people. Okay, 99 people he killed. He couldn't have done anything. They died and they went. Inshallah, Allah would please the murdered people to the extent that they would pardon this man and waive their rights in his favor. However, Allah has allowed this. Allah has only allowed this to a person who has tried his best to give back the rights to the owners of rights before his death. He does that only for such people. Not that a person had the opportunity but didn't take advantage of it. Wisdom in offering salatul tawbah, salat of repentance, is called salatul tawbah. This is one of the Maulana's sayings. If you happen to commit a sin, this is the way. Then offer 2 rakats of salatul tawbah without delay, with the intention of tawbah and repentance. Then make tawbah, make your repentance. There are innumerable wisdoms in making this kind of tawbah. 1, the Quran says, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at. Indeed, the good deeds obliterate and wipe out the bad deeds. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at. Surely good deeds will drive away the evil deeds. That's 1. When you make tawbah, when you make the tawbah after the salat now, your heart will be attentive, which is necessary for tawbah being accepted. And 3, because the soul, because the nafs, which is within us, and this is what we have to combat. This is the fight that we have to do until death. Because the nafs, the low self, the animal self, the base animal carnal desires of man, that is called the nafs. Because this nafs finds it hard to offer salat. So the nafs will refrain from sin, lest it has to endure salat, and the devil too will not incite him to sin. The devil will see that if he incites man to commit 10 sins, then this man offers 20 rakats, and his sins will be forgiven by tawbah, while he will have the 20 rakats as his profit, so the devil will give up also. So that's the benefit of performing 2 rakats first and then making one's tawbah after committing a sin. Good deeds drive away evil deeds, Quran says. Good deeds just wash away and wipe away the evil deeds. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. The Maulana said that there are many benefits in making repentance in this way. The first is what the noble Quran says. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. Good deeds take away bad deeds. These are minor sins. If a man commits a minor sin and performs wudu, then the sin is forgiven. Or he offers salat, the sin is forgiven, washed off. Piety effaces sin, and this will happen when salat or tawbah is offered. Heart is attentive thereafter. The next advantage is that when salat is offered, the heart is now attentive to the tawbah, the repentance that one makes. This is an ideal time to make repentance because the heart is humble. The devil also hesitates. The third advantage is that the devil withdraws from prompting evil because if he gets the man to commit a sin, he will offer 2 rakats and make repentance. As a result, his sin will be forgiven and he will also have a profit balance of 2 rakats. The devil, the shaitan, finds it more advantageous not to prompt evil. It's better I don't prompt this man to evil. This is why Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said that if you commit a sin, offer 2 rakats of salat to tawbah, make tawbah. May Allah enable us to abide by these things and to refrain from sin. Ameen. Live obediently. Live obediently. Observe. They also survive who are disobedient. They are disobedient creatures in the land. They also survive. As do those who are obedient. Both survive. It is not that the obedient will die because of their obedience. Rather, if we look with a searching eye, only they who live who are obedient. If we look with a searching eye, only they live who are obedient, they are the ones who are really living the real life. Let's go to the Quran. What does the Quran say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, istajibu lillahi wa lirrasool, answer Allah and the Messenger, idha da'akum, when they call you, lima yuhyikum, O you who believe, respond to Allah and to His Messenger, when he, the messenger of Allah, calls you to that which gives you life. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasool, idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Thus, a life of obedience is real, while the disobedient is in death in reality. Because the Quran says, respond to Allah and the messenger, obey them. Idha da'akum, when he calls you, lima yuhyikum, to that which gives you life. Word of life is obedience to Allah. It is a fact that the beauty and worth of life, listen well, it is a fact that the beauty and worth of life is experienced only by those who are obedient to Allah. They get the beauty and worth of life. As for the life of sin, though it may look charming, it is not a peaceful life. It is worthless. Those who love it die by committing suicide because they have no peace. Those who love it, a life of sin, life of disobedience, They die by committing suicide because they have no peace. It seems to be charming. It is not so. It is worthless. The Quran tells us how we may get peace. Allah bi dhikrillah. Behold, it is with the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, tatma'innul qulub, that the hearts get tranquility. Behold, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts do find satisfaction. The life of peace, safety, and comfort is the one that is spent in obedience to Allah. Always remember, the life of peace, safety, and comfort is the one that is spent in obedience to Allah. May Allah grant us a life of peace and comfort. Ameen. In the end, Mufti Taqi Usmani makes dua here. Be very beautiful dua. He says, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك التوفيق لمحابك من الأعمال وصدق التوكل عليك وحسن الظن بك اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And if you forgive us not and have not mercy on us, we shall surely be among the losers. Our Lord, grant us what is good in this world and in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and our extravagance in our affairs, and make firm our feet and grant us victory over the disbelieving people. O turner of the hearts, turn our hearts to your obedience. O Allah, we ask you for enablement to deeds you love and true reliance on you and good hope and thoughts about you. O Allah, our hearts, our foreheads, and our limbs are within your grasp. You have not given us power over them. That being the case, be our guardian and guide us to the straight path. O Allah, we ask you for every good that your slave and your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you for. And we seek refuge in you, O Allah, from every evil from which your slave and your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge. Our Lord, accept from us. Surely you are all hearing, all knowing, and relent to us. Surely you are the relenting, the merciful. And blessing of Allah, the Exalted, be upon the best of His creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his family and his companions altogether. Ameen. With your mercy, O you, the most merciful of those who show mercy, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectations. drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh,